This Wednesday evening presentation was delivered by our resident pastoral student, Andrew Hoyt, on the subject of love. This was delivered on Wednesday evening, December the 20th, 2006.
We'll have an extended time of prayer at the end, but right now, let me pray for Andrew as he comes to share with us this evening. Father, we're grateful for this opportunity to be in your presence. I pray that tonight, as Andrew comes, that you would give him freedom to speak the truth of your word, that you would encourage his heart and use him to encourage and strengthen us. Father, he is your servant tonight, and we pray that you would use him as your instrument. Speak to our hearts words of encouragement, words of life, words of strength in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, it's good to be back from a Christmas break. Hope everyone's been having a good break so far, you know, with the Christmas holidays and everything like that. Just a little update. I'm still a student at OBU, of course. Successfully made it through halfway through my sophomore year, and they're letting me come back, so that's always a good thing. So I had the opportunity to be the best man in my brother's wedding. It was very amazing. If y'all were there, it's really good. But as Pastor Rod asked me to give the message, so I was very happy to do that. It's good to see everyone here. I've noticed that as I've seen, you know, been at college and everything, there are certain words in our culture that, when said, don't exactly mean their definition. For example, if somebody would tell me at school, man, that's really bad, it doesn't necessarily mean its definition, or it doesn't mean it's not good. Rather, it would mean it's pretty cool. That word, in fact, cool, doesn't mean cold anymore. Rather, it's somebody congratulating another on his new style of clothing. But there are many words like this, and I've realized that one in particular, I believe, has lost its meaning today. You see, the word love is known to everyone. Everyone has heard it, and I'm willing to bet that everyone has at least used it once in their lifetime. But what exactly are we saying when we say, I love such and such? Are we referring to the feeling we get when we see that someone special? Or is it the feeling we get when we hear that Gail Guthrie and Laura Rutledge are cooking for the Wednesday evening meal? Is this the meaning, or is it something more? In the world we live in today, the word love, I believe, has lost its meaning. It is apparent everywhere we go. We see it in the media as it's constantly telling us what they think the word love is. TV shows about dating, one-night stands, and blatant lifestyles try to dictate to us what Hollywood thinks love is. But it isn't just something we see in TV. You see, the misplacement and misuse of the word love only causes pain and hurt. I've seen it at school. Usually under the guise of what most some of us know as recreational dating. Two people will have a relationship together, and one will say, you know, they'll start to fall in love, and the other one won't feel that way. Feelings get hurt and lives are messed up because someone said love and didn't mean it. But we all have something in common, though. Every human being desires, in some way or another, some form of love. The Apostle Paul writes to the church at Corinth and addresses several issues that the church lacked in. And in one famous chapter, Paul writes concerning on love. That's where our text will take us today. If you would, in your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians 13. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 13, starting in verse 1. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant nor rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child, and I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then shall I know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. In verses 1 through 3, we see a literary tool used, as most authors will make great exaggerations to try and prove a point. Like, if I were to say, I'm so hungry I could eat a horse, that doesn't exactly mean I want to devour an entire horse. On the same note, if I say I want to sleep for a whole year, I'm so tired, that means the same thing, I'm not going to sleep for an entire year. But I'm trying to prove a small point. What Paul uses in these verses is he's making great exaggerations, saying, if I could speak in the tongues of man and of angels, if I had the gift of speech, very fluent ways of getting across my speech, if he says, if I had prophetic powers and understood all things, all mysteries, and my faith was great enough to move mountains. But then he says, if I had not love, none of that would matter. You see, a man can be humanly perfect, but if he does not have charity in his heart or in his actions, none of that will mean anything. You see, in these verses, Paul is pointing to love's true meaning. In verses 4 through 8, Paul describes the nature of love. And we can divide it into two sections. We can divide it into what love isn't and what love is. You see, he says, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. But it does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but it rejoices with truth. See, what Paul is trying to do in these verses is he's trying to say what a Christian should be. He personifies love as a person, as a Christian should imitate. He says, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Tells us how, as Christians, this is the way we should act. This is the way we should strive to be in our Christian life. Love never ends, in verse 8, as it states. This statement shows us the strength and magnitude of the word love, that it will always be around, no matter where we are. It describes several virtues in these verses. Prophecies, the gift of tongues, which would be speech, and the gift of knowledge and wisdom. You see, as we are born, God gives every man different gifts. He gives each of us different, if you will, spiritual gifts. This is apparent in my life with my brothers. You see, my younger brother Samuel, he's very gifted with computers. He could tweak a little something here to give it a little extra power and then like hit it on the side and make it go faster. Me, on the other hand, I just push the on button, it comes on, great. That's fine and dandy. My older brother, David, is very mechanically gifted. He could take apart something, tell you exactly how it works, put it back together with all the parts still in it. Just very gifted. I just know how a TV works, and that's fine. That's all I can do. They're good at some things that I'm not. I have some gifts that they don't have. That's how everyone is. You see, everyone is gifted with these different gifts. But everyone has something in common, though. Everyone has the ability to feel and express love. Everyone has love in their lives. You see, the statement, love never ends, tells us something, that Paul tries to make a contrast between the two. He contrasts between the spiritual gifts, which will pass away, and love that will never end. It says that no matter how long we are, the gifts will always be with us, and then eventually will pass away, but love will always be. Finally, in the later verses, Paul talks about love being a mature and complete thing. He says that when I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, and I reasoned as a child. He says that as if I'm a child, I don't carry on conversations as a fully grown adult does. He says that he reasons, thinks, speaks as a child. As I get older, I mature and think differently. Paul uses this expression, how we should love others, that as we grow older, our love for others should be a mature love and not childish, if you will. This mature love is described in a commentary written by R.C. Sproul, and it reads, New Testament Christianity is the human response to the revelation of the Creator as the God of love. Out of love for those who did not love, the Father gave the Son gave His life, and the Father and Son together have sent the Spirit to save sinners from misery and lead them into glory. Believing in and being overwhelmed by this amazing reality of divine love sustains the love for God and neighbor that the two great commandments require. Our love expresses our gratitude for God's gracious love to us and imitates it as a model. The indispensable mark of a Christian life is Christian love. The measure and test of our love to God is wholehearted obedience. The measure and test of love to our neighbors is laying down our lives for them. This sacrificial love involves giving, spending, and impoverishing ourselves for their well-being. Jesus' story of the Samaritan's kindness to a traditional enemy is his model definition of how to love one's neighbor. Christian love is described in 1 Corinthians 13, as I just read. Its total lack of self-concern is breathtaking. It seeks the neighbor's good, and its true measure is how much to give at that end. Sproul sums it up in this next statement as he describes love. Love is a principle of action rather than of emotion. It is a matter of doing things for people out of compassion for them, whether or not we feel personal affection for that person. It is by their act of love to one another that Jesus' disciples can be recognized. It's not a feeling, but rather an action. Maybe that's the misinterpretation that people think today, that feeling they get right here, oh, that must be love. That's not the case, but rather it's an action. Anyone can have this feeling towards someone or something, but few back up this feeling and devote their life to that cause. Love is not a word, rather it's a lifestyle. It is described when Christ tells of the two great commandments. Love towards God is complete and full obedience to His will. Love to our neighbor is laying our lives for them, putting aside whatever self-need we need, and just serving them without any hindrance, doing things out of compassion for them. Love, then, I believe, points in these Corinthians 13, love is Christ Himself, the true manifestation of the Word. When Christ came down from heaven and took a form of a servant and then sacrificed Himself willingly on the cross, I believe love found its true meaning, that love is Jesus Christ. We cannot even begin to understand the graciousness of the love God showed towards us. How can a perfect being come down and just allow all that to happen to Him? Christ, the Holy Son of God, I believe, in today's day and age, is the true definition of this word love. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank You for just showing this gracious love towards us, God. Help us to understand in all things that You are the mighty and awesome God. Thank You for continually blessing us and help us to go throughout this week knowing that you are a mighty God. Please be with us now as we leave this place and just comfort us, those who are sick, and be with those who are traveling, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a Bulldogs and Piggies production, a serious podcast with a silly name. Find us on the web at www.pwhatcher.blogspot.com. Bulldogs and Piggies features the preaching ministry of Rod Harris, pastor of Trinity Baptist Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, located at the corner of 41st and Union. To learn more about the ministries at Trinity Baptist Church, visit us on the web at www.tbctulsa.org.